More Idaho Matters now from the studios of Boise State Public Radio News. I'm Gemma Gaudette. A new film is being made in Idaho. It's called Children of the Wolves, and it features a group of Timberline High School students and a wolf pack from the Gem State. Executive producers Matt Podolsky and Seth Randall, as well as the film's director, Barb Kensing, sat down with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice, to tell us more about it. So let's take a listen.
Barb, I'll start with you. What's the origin of this project?
Sure, absolutely. Well, I came here in May of last year, 2023, to come to a environmental journalism conference. Mm-hmm. And that's where I learned about the wolf issue. And I am originally from Missouri, so came to Boise for the first time. And I heard this group of high schoolers speak and talking about the wolf issue here, the wolf controversy, and what they were doing to combat some of the tension here. And
students from Timberline?
Yes, right. These are students from Timberline High School. Mm-hmm. They spoke to this group of journalists and asked, you know, we need help. We need someone to cover this story. It's been covered before, but not quite right. Mm. And I looked at it honestly, and I thought, I'm in a prime position. I had just graduated college from the University of Missouri, and I was ready for my next story. And, you know, I love wildlife and human stories, especially where they intersect, and I thought that this was a film that could not tell that story greater. July 2023, I moved out here specifically to direct this film.
Matt, Seth, how did you make this connection? And at what point did you determine, yeah, this is absolutely a feature?
Well, there are Facebook groups for filmmakers in Idaho. And Barb had posted a message that she was going to be moving to Idaho to tell this story. And I'm selective with what projects I work on. But as you may know, George, I enjoy telling controversial stories.
Indeed.
In Idaho.
Yep.
And so when I learned about this and realized that Barb was relocating from Missouri to Idaho to tell this controversial story that raises such passionate emotions on both sides, and that she had found a fresh and interesting angle, I wanted to be a part of it.
Yeah, and similarly, you know, so I focus my work specifically in wildlife and environmental documentary stories, and I help run this nonprofit production company based here in Boise called Wild Lens. And so the wolf issue has been on my radar for the past 15 years, right? And the films that I like to be a part of are character-driven, right? And so when thinking about the type, like the angle to take on a story about wolves and all of this political controversy surrounding that topic, for me, it's like you got to find the right characters, right? The right lens to through which to view this issue. You know, when Barb approached me to share a little bit about this story, when she started talking about these high school kids and what they're doing, and then when I saw some of the footage that she had gathered already, it was clear to me that like this was the way to do it, right? Because these kids are so curious, and because we will have the opportunity to see both sides, to see both perspectives on this issue, but through the lens of their curiosity.
So Barb, I'm assuming obviously you are somewhere near their school. They are students, but where else will your film take us?
So the film will take us across Idaho to Lapway, to Lewiston, to a little bit of Washington as well, and honestly Yellowstone. Mm-hmm. So the kids are going to be taking a wolf tracking trip funded through the film, and it's supposed to be for letting the kids see wolves and filming them see wolves.
Can I assume that a young adult looks at this issue with some amount of frustration or anger, but I'm wondering where frustration ends and hope begins?
Absolutely. That's a great question. For me, the hope begins when I see the kids,
yeah.
When I film the kids. But I think that that also poses a dangerous question because we are relying essentially on young people to effectively save the world. Mm-hmm. And what kind of toll does that take on their mental health? So that is one facet of this story.
Do they express ever that they feel dismissed sometimes?
Absolutely.
They do.
Absolutely.
And that they don't have a voice in this conversation, in spite of the fact that we will be tossing them the keys?
Yes. I mean, these kids have testified in front of Idaho Fish and Game. They've gone to D.C. and spoken to lawmakers there. they have been all over the map trying to tell this story, especially through their eyes. And they voiced to me and to the camera that, you know, they don't feel heard and especially don't feel taken seriously. And some of them, the girls specifically, feel like that maybe because of their gender as well.
Gentlemen, you are superb nonfiction storytellers, but help me out with this. How do you create a narrative arc with this story? Or is it organic? Does it write itself? I'm wondering how you map this out.
Well, a lot of this is organic. Barb selected certain characters to follow, and it's following various aspects of their lives. One of them just had her 18th birthday, and so we followed that process, you know, for her birthday. And major events in their lives, because these students have a lot on their plates. In addition to being young activists, they still are students. So they have to deal with getting good grades and getting ready for graduation, sending out applications to college. So we're
sounds
letting
like being 17 or being 18.
Right.
Right.
And then on top of that, this extra pressure of
this activism,
trying
right.
to save the world. And so there's a lot on their plate. So we're following that process, but we have things that we want to get. One of the first things we shot last year was the graduation of the previous class, because this story is kind of every year they pass the baton to a new generation. So we had some students from the previous year. They pass the baton to the students we're following now. And at the end of this year, these students will pass the baton on to other students.
And, you know, so absolutely, it is organic in a certain sense, but there are sort of key milestones, right? And there's things that are very predictable, like graduation. But then there's milestones that occur within the issue itself, like political milestones, right? And there was, you know, there is an inciting incident for this story as well, because part of the reason that this particular group of teenagers from Timberline High School, part of the reason that they're connected with the wolf issue goes back to this adoption that the tree club, this environmental club within Timberline High School, they had some advisors that facilitated this unique adoption of a wolf pack, named it after the high school. And, you know, there's this history of students from this club having opportunities to get out and participate in the tracking of this particular pack, this wolf pack, and that pack was killed a couple of years back. And so, I mean, that is the inciting incident for the students, and we'll certainly use that right. to help structure the film. And as, you know, that kind of sets them off on their journey. And then there's all these other milestones, political milestones, right? And you have to see how, like, we're going to see how they react to those, right? But then we're also waiting for that moment, right? And, like, Barb has some very tangible ideas about, like, when certain things that happen, I think, will indicate to her that, okay, we have a natural conclusion.
Wow.
But there's a lot of uncertainty in that, right? And that's mm-hmm. part of what, you know, that's one of the key things about documentary filmmaking is, like, being keenly aware of what's going on and what's going on, not just, like, big picture, but also in your characters' minds mm-hmm. and knowing when that event has occurred, that when you've captured that sort of natural conclusion to a story.
Barb, you know this. One of the splits in Idaho is the urban-rural divide. And to be sure, Timberline is an inner city school in our capital city here in Boise. And I would guess that more than a few people are thinking, well, here's a few left-leaning kids from the city who don't really understand. But can I also assume that these kids do put boots on the ground and go out into the field and know what they're talking about?
Absolutely. I mean, these kids, not only do they advocate for what they believe in, but they are essentially getting out into the field and putting their best foot forward in terms of getting that experience. So they, not only do they do wolf, you know, tracking trips, you know, they go on bird banding trips, they go on field trips all the time. They have speakers from every side come in to their club and tell what they know about
and
wildlife
club,
in general.
Again, evolves, right? I think you mentioned, right, mm-hmm. classes graduate, new kids come in, et cetera. So do you have like this cast that
yes.
expands and contracts?
Absolutely. So I think expanding and contracting is a great way to put it. But I also don't want to, forget about the kids, let's say, that graduated last year. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, we'll also be following their journeys. One of them is a part of the Sunrise Movement. One of them's working on red wolves and ghost wolves down in Galveston, Texas. Wow. One of them is going to Princeton. You know, so these kids are not only thriving at Timberline and in Boise and Idaho in general, but they're going out and really changing the world.
And part of documentary filmmaking is making sure to include various sides of the story. Mm-hmm. And that's something that's important to us also. Even though this is about a group of students who were in an environmental club in Boise, we want to include the perspectives of ranchers and hunters, the urban and rural divide, as you're talking about. However, in this case, it's going to be seen through the prism of these students and through their lens and how they see the issues and react to it and their learning and growth process along the way.
And this could well be a 2025 or 2026.
Yes, this film
production is
going to come out most likely in either 2025 or 2026.
And just a little bit into the weeds, when you produce something like this, and you all know this, it you submit to film festivals and things like that, right? Because there is we're kind of in a golden era of nonfiction storytelling, and the hunger for a story like this is significant. So I'm guessing you're taking your time, is what I'm hearing.
You absolutely
know, you're taking care to make sure that all of those elements are included. But wow, what a process.
Yes. And, you know, I would add that documentary has evolved so much, yeah. especially over the last 10 years. I think the idea of what people think documentary can be has evolved more than anything. And I think this film is going to push that narrative even further.
That was Matt Podolsky and Seth Randall, the executive directors of Children of the Wolves, along with the film's director, Barb Kinzing, speaking with our Morning Edition host, George Prentice. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
At a time when information continues to come at us faster and faster, sometimes you need to hit pause and rewind. NPR's Throughline takes you back in time to the source of the news stories filling your feed. Find NPR's Throughline wherever you get your podcasts.